This is Alan Partridge on North Norfolk Digital. I'm here with Sidekick Simon, who's about to give us a sideways look at the week's news.
I am.
Simon.
OK.
What have you got for us?
What I have is a story about a postman.
He's rapidly rustling. he's leafing through this paper like a man possessed.
I am. I'm like a madman.
You should turn the corners down on the...
I found it and turned the corner down, and then what's happened is it must have come back up. Sorry.
You're listening to Sidekick Simon. Sidekick Simon, Sidekick Simon.
I'm going to find it quickly. It's on the left. OK, this is not the one, but a beach litter pick is being held at Cromer. No. Got it. Okay.
I'm in business.
There we go. A postman was expected to return to his family home on Friday evening at Aylmerton, but did not arrive and was reported missing that night. Now, my thing is that maybe he will arrive, but at the wrong address. In about three weeks down the line, he'll arrive back, but at the wrong address.
Yeah. But his body was found in a canal this morning. That's the thing.
So it sort of works.
It's the wrong address, isn't it?
Yes, massively. It's in the canal.
OK, right, just time for news.
The headlines on the hour. The body of a postman reported missing on Friday.
You're listening to Mid-Morning Matters with Alan Partridge. Now it's time for Alan Describes Art, in which I attempt to describe a piece of art created and submitted by one of our listeners. Today's comes from Mick Lindop of Heatherset. So here goes. It's a charcoal drawing of a nude lady. She is splayed, let us say. I can't go into any more detail than that. And she has a C, D cup bust, pleasantly curvy elsewhere. All in all, a good body. And Mick entitles this Family, which is a bit odd. Perhaps it's his old mum. But it's an interesting question, that. When does something stop being art and start being point-blank rude? Interesting topic there. Perhaps we'll revisit that. Can I have a coffee, please? Two sugars. Can you make sure you stir it this time? Because last time I ended up with a rather bitter drink followed by several teaspoonfuls of coffee-infused sugar sludge.
Oh, sorry about that.
Well, I'm not having a go at you. I like you. And the coffee sludge was rather, in and of itself, quite tasty. You could serve it to one of your shooters. You're being suited at the moment, suited and booted. That sounds like you've been taken for a meal and then afterwards kicked, which does happen. I mean, that's the terrible thing.
I'll just give it a good stir then.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. I'll tell you how I met this chap. I had a god-awful day last Tuesday. I was having lunch with an entrepreneur from Nottingham. Let's call him Brian, not his real name. His real name's Keith. And I decided, foolishly, to experiment by trying out a new restaurant. It was just called Williams, and I like the simplicity of the name. So I went in there and I ordered
just, what? Just Williams.
What do you mean?
Just Williams.
Just
William.
Just William. I ordered macaroni cheese. It was awful. I'm sure it was microwaved. I suggested that we partake of some flagons of foaming ale and quaff merrily, whereupon we alighted. I'm going to stop being a presenter from the past now. We went in and we decided to quaff. I'm doing it again. We went in a pub and had a pint of bitter. We had 2 pints of bitter. But when I went in there, this guy here was had me on the floor. Shoot me a pearl. Okay. Shoot me one of your pearls.
So something from the pub, or
yeah.
Naked chess match.
What?
Shall I do the one about the naked chess match?
No, don't do that. What was the thing when your friend phoned up to
Darren.
Say his...
Oh, Darren. So Darren
his friend phoned up because his wife had just given birth to a baby.
Yes.
Take
it away. So Darren, Darren's wife had given birth to a baby, and I put the phone down and I said to you, she's just given birth, and she's given birth to some pastry, I think I said, and some cheese and some eggs. And I said to you, guess what she's called? And you didn't know. And I said Lorraine.
Because it was Akish.
Because that's that to Akish. Yeah. The name is Lorraine.
Lorraine. So that was the joke. And I said, imagine the midwife taking all this pastry and hot ham and cheese and pastry out from the crevice of a woman.
Said, yeah.
Do you write sketches?
No.
Okay. Let's have a bit of Duran Duran after that, listen to the dulcet tones of Simon Le Bon, which is actually French for Simon the Good. So you're very well prepared with all your papers and notes, Simon. Now it's time for Who Does Alan Think Alan Is?
Who do you think you are?
Just to explain, the sense of that line was not properly explained to the voiceover artist before she went into the booth. By the time I find out, she was already in a cab. Complete waste of 30 quid. She sounds like she's been touched on a bus. My main guest today is one of the genealogists from BBC One's Who Do You Think You Are? Please welcome Henry Spring.
Hello. Our journey begins with your great-grandmother, Annie Partridge. Do you remember her?
I do, Granny Annie. She died when I was a toddler. She used to make me chucky egg. Egg and butter chopped up in a bowl. You add that to your files. Send it to the boys at WDYTYAHQ. Who do you think you are, headquarters?
Well, like many women of her time, she was a stay-at-home mum, wasn't she?
She was unemployed, yes.
But what you might not know is that if we delve one generation further back, we find she had an aunt who lived quite near here, so that would have been your great-great-aunt.
It's fascinating. Please tell me more.
She lived in a semi-detached house in Sheringham at the very end of the 19th century.
That must have been one of the first semi-detached houses in Norfolk.
Not in Norfolk, but it may have been one of the first in Sheringham.
But that's still fascinating. It sends a shiver down your spine.
Do you want me to get you up?
Rest in peace. Great, great, great aunt. What's her name?
We don't know. We just have the initial E.
Rest in peace. Mrs. E. Was she married?
We don't know that either.
Rest in peace, E. Partridge. What was the joke you were going to do?
I was just going to say, shall I go and get you a hot water bottle when you said you had a chill in your spine?
Oh, yeah. That's good, yeah. I think I was right to stop you there.
Oh, yeah.
Henry, I'm right, am I not, that my distant relative was involved in perhaps one of the most important pieces of town planning that Norwich has ever seen?
Well, he worked in the Office of Town Planner.
Changing what was Deering Square into what is now Deering Lane.
They effectively made it a thoroughfare, yes.
It's amazing. I mean, the number of times I've parked on that road, never knew. I mean, I know it's loading only, but you park there after six, they never get you. I almost feel like crying.
Certainly made getting into the centre of town that bit more straightforward.
And the rest. If it weren't for Deering Lane, you'd have to come in on the Ring Road. I mean, it's just amazing that an ancestor of mine had to wrestle with that awful decision. I mean, on the one hand, you know, the square gave people somewhere to sit, a respite from the frenetic pace of life in Norwich. And yet on the other, I mean, direct access to Hobbs Road must have been like the promised land to civil engineers, cutting journey times from the east half of the city in half. It was caught between a rock and a hard place. It must have been ruddy hard. I sent a shiver down my spine. Another one. That's the second one in half an hour. I almost feel like I should get a hot water bottle to reheat my spine. Now, a little genealogical bird tells me that there's a bit of a dark horse in the Partridge clan, but of a loose cannon.
His name is Edmund...
A black sheep, that's the third one.
Edmund Partridge. He was around until the late 1880s, had a spell in prison.
Did he now?
For debt, and then he moved to France, Paris, which where he died.
Yeah, he sounds like a right rummin. And what sort of roguery befell him? Was it a brawl in a brasserie? How did he meet his maker? What was the cause of death?
Well, the coroner's report says the cause of death was syphilis.
Right. You can make eye contact with me when you say that, you know. I haven't got syphilis.
Sorry.
You're looking away like that, like it's, you know. This has nothing to do with it. You should be careful bandying around causes of death willy-nilly.
Well, the coroner's report does state it, so we can be pretty sure.
If I was going on a man's radio show to accuse one of his ancestors of a sex disease, I'd want to be more than pretty sure. I'd want to be the next one up, which presumably is uber sure.
OK, then we're uber sure.
Why are you doing this? I have sponsors who will walk away like that if they get a sniff of VD.
Well, you asked me to look into it, so...
How would you like it if I said your great-grandmother soiled herself at George Formby's house and had a hump?
She wouldn't, and she didn't.
Well, you have a... use one of your sense of humours, your jokes on him.
Well, I can do, but a minute ago you're telling me to shut up.
Well, I've changed my mind!
Well, you come on here and you start dragging the Partridge name through the muck. Who do you think you are?
That is the best joke you've done all day. Absolute. Six of those a show and you're away. Keep your clubs away from his young. It's Seal.